Thank you. The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day to gather in his house to worship this morning. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to encounter our Savior this day. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Bert, for our opening music today. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us on this special Sunday morning as we lift up prayer and for the start of the new school year taking place the last couple weeks and leading into these next couple weeks. May God's blessings be upon our schools, our students, our teachers, the staff members, the families that will be, and really in our entire community that will be touched by this transition moment, this transformational moment in our lives. If you are a first-time guest with us, I want to welcome you to here to First Baptist Elon. Thank you for joining us today. If you would, take a minute and fill out one of the visitor's cards that's located in the pew in front of you, and you can drop it off in the offering plate following the worship service today. For those that are watching us online this morning on Facebook Live, welcome. Thank you for joining us online today. I do want to remind you, you can also go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up the worship bulletin and use that as a resource for our hour of worship today. If you are a first-time viewer online, thank you for joining us. We're glad that you found us this morning. Send me an email this week and let me follow up and share what First Baptist Church of Elon is all about. I do want to remind our church family, and you'll notice in the schedule for this week, this afternoon, and leading up to this week, this afternoon we do have our worship service at Blakey Hall. That's at 1:30 on the second floor there, and anybody's welcome to come and enjoy that time of fellowship and worship there at Blakey. We had a wonderful group this past month that came from our church family, so if you'd like to come out, it's a wonderful time of worship this Sunday afternoon. Looking ahead to this week, I do want to remind everybody that Tuesday we do have our Golden Years Bingo and Birthday Ministry that will take place at 1:30 p.m. If you'd like to go and help with this ministry, you can talk to Sandy French about that. Tuesday night, Joe's Diner, team number 8, will be preparing and serving the meal at Allied Churches at 5:30. So if you're on team 8, don't forget about that on Tuesday night. And then, of course, Wednesday is our choir rehearsal at 6:30 p.m. For those that are ministry team leaders or have items that you would like to put in the September newsletter, Janice wanted me to remind you today that you need to get those articles in. You need to send whatever you need to her, and she'll make sure she gets it in. She'll be working on the September newsletter this week, and you should get it towards the later end of this week. But if you have anything to put in there, please send it to her by email today or tomorrow. We are continuing to collect food for the Salvation Army Food Pantry. Thank you for those who have already brought food items in. The items needed are listed in your bulletin. They're also listed in the August newsletter. So those items can be brought through the month of through the end of the month of August. Of course, if you bring it past that date, we will make sure we get it to Salvation Army as well. But the drop-off points are in the Communication Center or in the Fellowship Hall. And last but not least, which is not least at all, we are a couple weeks away from our fourth annual block party here at First Baptist Elon. We're excited about this opportunity. We've had wonderful gatherings over the last couple years, and we look forward to that in just a couple weeks. So make sure you mark your calendar for Sunday, September 7th, that evening from 5 to 7 p.m. We'll be going around the neighborhood, inviting our neighbors to come enjoy a cookout, a wonderful time. Hopefully the weather will be great. We can gather outside and fellowship together, but if not, we'll move inside to the fellowship hall. But again, mark your calendars, because we need your help as well. We need your help by helping out with the food. We need your help by coming and set up tables and chairs and getting everything ready. We need your help by walking around the neighborhood to pass out flyers about this important event. But most importantly, we need your help to be there at 5 o'clock on that Sunday as we greet our neighbors, as we eat with them, as we fellowship around the table with them. And that's the most important thing, that connection. So encourage you, please mark your calendars for September 7th, 5 to 7 p.m. You'll hear more details specifically in the coming weeks. Now we lift praise to our God and King this day on this Sabbath day, His holy day. Let's worship this morning.
Psalm 34:1 tells us, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Today, let's celebrate the blessings and the joys of trusting and praising and living for Jesus, declaring His faithfulness and His worthiness in every season. Let's stand and sing, Let's Just Praise the Lord. Thank you. You may be seated.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 71, reading verses 1 through 6 this day. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. And that's why we're here, to praise him for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will continue to do in our lives this day and the days to come. Let us pray this morning. Oh God, in the midst of the cacophony of voices that crush our spirit and deny our calling, voices that say, who do you think you are? We come to hear your voice of affirmation. We come to hear your voice calling us to be and do what you have called us to be and do. Let this time of worship quiet our fears, soothe our bruised souls, and energize us for ministry in and with your beloved world. Let faith abide. Let hope abide. Let love abide here in this sanctuary, here in our schools, here in our world, but most of all, here in us. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our obituary hymn this morning is I Stand Amazed in the Presence. Let's stand and worship together.
Transition is already happening in our communities. Faculty and staff have returned to school. Students have started to return to school, and for those who have not, many will be starting in the coming days. Our community has been transformed by the arrival of the Elon students this weekend. If you don't believe me, if you're here this weekend, you saw, and they are here. And we're excited to have them back here in our community. Change is in the air, and God is preparing our families and our congregation for each of these changes. So that's why we have this service every year. That's why we have the blessing of the backpacks every fall, because each of us will be changed by this new school year. And we want to pray for our entire community in the days, the weeks, and the months to come. Now, you might be saying, but I don't have a student in my house anymore. That's okay. There's a student in your community. You might say, I don't have a teacher. I'm retired from teaching. That's okay. You know how the prayers are impactful for the teachers that are going back in the coming days. So now, this morning, I want you to pray. I want you to pray for our community. I want you to pray for our students. I want you to pray for our teachers and our staff members and all the impact that they are going to have on our community this year. Will the congregation please join me in the responsive reading that is displayed on the worship screens this morning? I'll read the leader part. If you would please read the people part. Faithful and ever-present God, we lift you this morning our concern for education. We raise for your blessing and guidance all who work and learn in the schools and colleges of this state and across this country. We bring to you all our hopes and our expectations. We pray for our schools and colleges where generations have gathered for learning, where knowledge has been advanced and individuals have grown. Make sure we got the light. John, advance to the next one. Just looking at it. All right. We pray for our schools and colleges where generations have gathered for learning, where knowledge has been advanced and individuals have grown. We pray for students of all ages who hope for the future, not knowing what the future will bring. We pray for legislators and school board members who spend long hours determining curriculum and shaping policy. We pray for those who advocate and volunteer their time to help make schools better. We pray for families who look for fruitful involvement in schools and have decisions to make about their children's education. Join me. God of wisdom, we ask for all of us your blessing and presence as we strive to do your will in this community. Keep us faithful in our caring, ready to support and to challenge. Grant all these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, that great student and teacher who came that we might have abundant life. Amen. Now at this time, I would ask that our current students, those that are at every age level, if our students and our teachers and faculty members who work in the schools would please stand at this time to be recognized. Don't be ashamed. I see some college students out there too. Y'all count. There you go. I want to thank you for being present in our schools. I want to thank you for providing a lasting imprint on the lives of our students and their families. For our students, know that God is already preparing you for the journey of the school year. Families, know that we will lift you up as well in the coming months as your lives are transformed once again. Would you please remain standing at this time while I have a prayer for you as Gay hands out some gifts, some blessings for you this school year. Would you pray with me this morning? God of wisdom and knowledge, enlighten by your Holy Spirit those who teach and those who learn. Make the schools of our community lively centers for sound learning, new discovery, and the pursuit of wisdom. We thank you for teachers and administrators. Continually renew and affirm in them a sense of calling to the sacred vocation of teaching. Give them loving hearts, wise minds, strong spirits, and a passion for their students. Fill them with joy, sustain and strengthen them, and give them rest when they are weary. Let them trust the seeds they plant even when they do not see the harvest. Let them hear deep within themselves your words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." We thank you for each student, their life among us, and the future before them. Lead them in your way, your truth, and your life. Let each classroom they enter be a place of life and light, warmth and welcome, discovery and growth. Give them good friends, and let them be good friends for others. Set them at tasks which demand their best efforts, and lead them to accomplishments which satisfy and delight. Let them not make failures and disappointments as a measure of their worth, but as opportunities for new learning and new beginnings. Open their hearts to life and their minds to learning. Let holy wisdom be their companion. Send your holy angels to stand guard and keep watch over all students, teachers, and families. Let their names be always on the lips of your saints in prayer. Bless and keep them. Let your face shine upon them. Be gracious to them. Lift up your countenance upon them and give them peace. Accept and bless these backpacks and these individuals who carry them as a sign of your love, your support, and your presence. All these we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And all God's people said, amen. Before our students and our teachers sit down, hopefully you've received a gift already. If you have not, please remain standing. But also, I want our congregation to thank you, those that are teaching, those that are in the schools. I want you to thank them for what they're doing right now. So in this little informal time of worship, turn around and say thank you. And say, we're praying for you. Now I want to call on Deacon Susan Reinheimer for our offertory prayer.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for watching over us this past week so we can be here. We are blessed today to be able to come together as a church family and worship you. On this day that we recognize our students and teachers as they begin another year, we ask you to wrap each of them with your guiding presence in their classrooms and activities and in their entire lives. Help the students find true friends who will share values and kindness with them. For our teachers, help them to be good mentors to both the students and the colleagues, and show your love to all. For those on our prayer list, we ask for healing and strength. We ask you to fill each of their needs as you know best. Now please take our offerings and help us use them in the best way to bless others, tell them about Jesus, and to bring glory to you. In your Son's precious name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Mark, for our special music today. If you would you once again join me in prayer before we encounter God's word this morning? Pray with me. Loving and gracious God, as we prepare for a new year, a new school year, we come before you with humble hearts. We confess that we do not always approach learning with gratitude or patience. Sometimes we let fear, frustration, and doubt cloud our minds. Forgive us for the times we have not used our gifts to their fullest or have been unkind to others in the journey of growth. Help us to remember that mistakes are part of learning, and your grace is always with us. May we carry your love and light with us wherever we go, into the classroom, to our workplaces, to our neighborhoods, and to our homes. In Jesus' name we pray this morning. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship on this special Sunday of prayer and blessing for our schools. I already know the hours of work that have gone into making this school year a success. Countless hours of preparation by our teachers, meetings and training for school staff and administration, school supply purchasing by our families, prayers and planning by our students. Now it is time to embrace and encounter the new school year. So this morning I wanted to turn to a passage of scripture that many of us will remember. I remember hearing this story as a young child in Sunday school at Connect Memorial Baptist Church, a student that I was at that time, and it made an impact on me. There's just something about this story, and it speaks to this new school year that we encounter this year. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And as you turn to this passage this morning, we're going to pick up at an early point in Jesus' ministry. The word began to spread about who he was and what he was proclaiming. Knowing this may be their only opportunity, a small group of friends overcame every obstacle as they brought their paralyzed friend to the Savior. Reading this morning, Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, the words will be on the screen behind me as well. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing him to him a paralytic carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he turned and said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." I can imagine teachers this year are going to utter those same words at some point. "We have never seen anything like this." And it is the preparation that God is placing in our lives for our teachers and our staff members and our students that are preparing them already for those moments. But let's talk about those that are involved in this. A man could not walk. He was paralyzed. The only way he could get anywhere was when his friends carried him. Then the news got around about Jesus that he was healing people in a nearby town. He had healed a woman with a fever. He had healed a man with leprosy. He healed people with all kinds of diseases. Surely this man, Jesus, would be able to heal their friend. So they decided, "Let's take our friend to see Jesus." These four friends placed their friend on a blanket or a mat and carried him to the door of the house where Jesus was telling about God. Now, I can't imagine how many times these friends had taken this man to other places, probably on the same mat, probably on the, in the same way, but this trip was going to be different. This trip was going to be special. However, when they arrived, the house was so full of people, there was no way in. Imagine the initial frustration as these friends arrived and there was no way to get their friend in to see Jesus. Imagine as they went to the front door and then to the back door and probably even looked up at the windows to see if there was a way they could get him in his presence. But it was so packed that they could not get in. Now, like most houses back then, this house was built with a flat roof and an outside staircase. So these friends did what seemed impossible. They carried him up the stairs to the top of the roof. In a moment of desperation, they tore the roof off the house and let their friend down into the house using ropes to lower the mat. Can you imagine the sight and the rumbling of those gathered in that house that day? They were listening to Jesus preach, but all of a sudden, sun came shining. It's like you get haloed when you're preaching, right? That's what I imagined, that all of a sudden the sunlight came into the house and people were looking, wow, this is a powerful sermon. He's really bringing the light today. But then they look up and they see a man, a paralyzed man, descending, lowering into the house on a mat. I can imagine the people gathered at first began to whisper. But eventually, they probably all went silent as that man then lay in front of Jesus. Jesus was not surprised. Jesus doesn't get surprised. He saw the friends and the act of service and love to bring their friend for healing. Jesus saw and understood. Jesus saw not just the man who got lowered into the house, but he understood the faith of the four. And what did Jesus do? He changed this man's life. Let me say here at the very beginning, the most important thing that we can do in life is to get to Jesus. You may not be physically sick, but you might have something eating at you from the inside, anger, guilt, grief maybe. You may not be physically paralyzed like this man, but you may be stuck in life, spinning your wheels, going nowhere, scared stiff that your life is going to end without accomplishing anything. If you are sick on the outside or in the inside, if you are so paralyzed you cannot get anywhere, you need to get to Jesus, even if someone has to carry you. He can and he will forgive your sins. Jesus will. But we have to have those individuals in our lives who help us get there. Jesus will fill your life with purpose. He will change your life. But sometimes we need just a little extra help. And I think that's the most important part of this entire story. There is another part of the story that I like to talk about on this special day of the blessing of the backpacks. Let's take a close look at those four friends who held the ropes for him. Our students and teachers are beginning a new school year. I am sure you have been busy getting your backpacks in order and everything in line, checking your supplies, and thinking about this new school year. But no matter where you go to school or what grade you are in, you are not going to make it alone. Sorry, students, you just won't do it. You need help. Whether you are a student, a teacher, or a staff member, you need people to hold your ropes as you seek to be successful this school year. So let's focus on those four ropes this morning and who is holding them for you. And each and every one of them is important. But I also want you to remember this. You don't have to be a student. You don't have to be a teacher. You don't have to be a staff member. But we recognize there are individuals in our lives that hold the ropes for us. So let's talk about them. The first rope for students will be held by your teachers. the first rope for teachers and staff is being held by your students. Students, keep in mind that your teachers have prepared in every way they can for teaching, that they can help you be the best student you can possibly be. They really do want you to succeed. Students, shake your head. Yep, they really do want you to succeed. Sometimes you might wonder why they ask you to do an assignment this way or that way, but they have a reason. You might think the work is too difficult for you. Do not be afraid to ask them for help. They want you to take steps to learn new things, more difficult things. You might not like some of the rules that they have for their classroom, but those rules help you get your studies done right. Teachers and staff this morning, it might seem a little bit scary when I say your students are holding one of the ropes for you, right? We all have that student in our mind. We're thinking, oh, please don't let go of that rope. But the fact is they are. Your students will be daily reminders of the call that God has given you to be educators. Your students will be reminders of the importance of education in our community daily. Your students will be daily reminders of potential and hope for the future, guiding you to be your very best. Your students will be daily reminders of the beauty of God's creation. So students and teachers, you have a great opportunity to learn many things in this school year. Proverbs 3:13 says, "Happy are those who find wisdom and those who get understanding." God wants us to learn about the world that He has made. Students, your teachers will help you do that. Teachers and staff, your students will help you do that. They will be there holding that first rope. But we need other hands. The second rope that is being held this year for our students and our staff and our teachers are by your parents, your grandparents, and your family members. I think sometimes students tend to forget how important their families play in their lives of learning. They provide you with food and clothes and a place to live. They can help you make good decisions. They can encourage you in your schoolwork. They can serve as listening ears when things are going great or things are not going great. Our family members play an essential role in helping us be our very best. Family members, parents, grandparents, and extended family. I would like to ask you to think back to the ways your family members helped you and encouraged you as you went through your classes. Maybe they took you to school. Maybe they helped you read difficult books. Maybe they made lunch for you every single day. Maybe they cheered you on and gave you advice about how to respect and treat other students. These are all lessons that need to continue to be passed down. Unfortunately, in some cases, this rope, this second rope, has gotten frayed and frazzled a bit. I keep hearing that some parents are not taking the responsibility to support their students in school. They do not show an interest in what is going on. They do not show up for meetings or programs or extracurricular activities. They do not monitor the progress of their students. They do not set good examples of behavior. Let me encourage you as parents, as grandparents, and family members to do everything that you can do to strengthen this rope, because those students, those teachers, those staff members are watching. The Bible places great importance on the role of parents. They are to help their children obey the commandments. They are to teach them about God. They are to love and care for their children. This rope of support is terribly important for students, for teachers and staff, for family members. Please hold that rope. The third rope that is being held is the ones that your friends hold. I am sure that all of our students can't even think about school without thinking about your friends. We enjoy their company. Their jokes may be really dumb sometimes, but they are still good friends. We may say things that hurt them sometimes, but they still keep coming back because they're our friends. But the Bible says that a friend loves at all times. In other words, whether you get an A or whether you get an F in class, your friends are always there for you. Now, your parents may be a little upset about it, but your friends will always be there. They care about you. Teachers and staff, you need the same support from your friends as well. Whether they are fellow teachers in other classrooms or friends you have known for so long since you were young, these individuals serve as a sounding block when you are struggling. These friends are willing to go the extra mile when you simply need a hug or a pat on the back or simply escape from the stresses of work. Hold on to these friends tightly. They serve as the presence of God. But there is one thing both our students and teachers need to pay attention to. They need to choose those friends carefully. Friends have a lot of influence. And we were sharing stories around the breakfast table up there of back when we were in school and all the wonderful things we learned and all the wonderful teachers that we had, but also some of those things that we shouldn't have done when we were in school. Yes, I'm guilty of that as well. But just know the people that you surround yourself with will have significant influence in your lives. You need friends who are kind, understanding, and respectful. You need friends who are honest and who know how to make good choices when they buy things or when they do things. You need friends you can depend on when times get tough. They're not just there when things are going great. Let me also say that the important thing about friendship is that it goes both ways. You need to be the kind of friend you want others to be to you. And that brings us to our fourth rope. The fourth and final rope that's being held for our students, our teachers, and our staff is the one that the church holds. My hope is that not just today on the blessing of the backpacks, our students and teachers and school staff members already know and already see how First Baptist of Elon cares about you and supports you. The church can help you face life's problems. The church can help strengthen your faith that you will carry into your schools. The church will help you learn who Jesus is and how to follow him. The church can help you find ways to serve God. My guess is that if we had time, more time this morning, each of us could share stories about how the church has supported us when we were students and whatever career field we got led into. Unfortunately, we don't have the time to do that today, but I would encourage you that you share those stories. If you have the opportunity, share those stories with your family members. Share those stories with the students and the teachers that sit here today. Without the church and God's leadership, we would not have the direction in our lives. You have a place where you can turn when you get discouraged. You have a place where you can turn to when you come up against a problem. You have a church family here at First Baptist who is daily lifting you up in prayer, not just one day a year. Students, teachers, and staff members, remember, when you go to school this year, you're not alone. Your teachers and students support you. Your parents, your grandparents, and family members love you. Your friends care about you. The church stands behind you. But above all, remember that Jesus will guide you and make your school year a success. You see, the story we read at the beginning is all about the encounter with Jesus. Every piece of this had to go into place, but if Jesus would have done nothing to that paralytic after he lay in front of him, the story would have been lost to history. But it was all about being in the presence of God. That's our responsibility. We need to hold the ropes, and students and teachers and staff know that you will encounter God this year. One more thing, one last thing. The last thing that Jesus said to this once paralyzed man, but now healed man, was this. He said, "Get up and get moving." Now, it may sound a little rough to someone who hadn't been up in many, many years, but his last words were, "Get up and let's go." I am pretty sure that those words will be echoed by parents more than once this school year as our students struggle to make it to class on time. Get up and let's go. Get up and get moving. But know this, students, teachers, staff members, and families, it is time. It is that time to get up and get moving. And we all have a responsibility this year. The new school year is here. Like it or not like it, it's here. Let us pray for those that are involved. Let's pray. Father, I am thankful for the numerous individuals that sit in this room today that will be touched by this school year. Our students who return to classes, our teachers and our staff members who have already returned to class and are preparing for the work that will be done this year to pass on this importance of education. I'm thankful for all those involved, the bus drivers, the cafeteria workers, the school bus drivers, the coaches, everyone that will have a role and an effect on the students and the teachers that will be in the schools this year. I pray for all of them. I know some of them by name, but many I do not, but that should not stop us from lifting prayers to them today. Father, I pray that as we hold that responsibility of holding one of the ropes for our students and our teachers and our staff members, that we hold it tight. But as we're holding it, we're saying the same things those men said on the top of that roof that day. We just need for our friend to encounter Jesus. May we pray for that this year. May our teachers experience that this year. May our staff members experience that this year. May our students as well. May we encounter Christ this school year. And all God's people said, amen. As we come to our time of closing today, for our closing hymn, I know today's sermon was a little bit different because of the special time of year in which you're in, but there is a commitment piece to it. They brought their friend to encounter Jesus, and his life was changed. That's what this community of faith is all about. And maybe today, for the first time, you recognize Christ's role in your life. Maybe you've encountered him today in our worship or previous to this worship service, and you want to turn your life over to him. I'll be down front if that's your decision to make. Or maybe you're just seeking to be a part of a church family that prays, that lifts up prayer, that understands the impact of the school system and our college and our university right down the street here on our lives. If you're looking for a church family, First Baptist Elon is that church for you. Or maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're going into this school year with some doubt, some trepidation, some I'm not sure how this is going to work. Bring those to the Lord today. The altar is always open. You come and pray. It's not my altar, it's his altar, but we will pray for you. I'll pray for you. Our deacons will pray for you. If you have something that's stirring in your soul today that you need to make a decision, don't let it pass you by. Because if those four friends, as they brought their friend to see Jesus, if they had stopped at the busy front door and the packed back door, his life wouldn't have been changed. Make that step today. Go that extra mile. Let's stand and sing this morning. Thank you. Students, teachers, and all that will enter the schools in the coming days know we are praying for you. It's not just a Sunday thing, it's an entire year thing. And if you need anything, remember, First Baptist Elon is holding one of those ropes for you. Come and seek us. As we leave this place today, go out praying for our community, because that's what this time needs. Let's go and pray.